This is the St. Luligan Podcast Network.
This is Mitch, Matthew Bird.
Hello.
He's a smug holiday bastard next week. Bradley.
He's a pre-smug holiday bastard.
Yes, yes. This is the...
My life's a fucking holiday.
That is true.
Amen.
You know what?
No, it's not. You got twin boys.
Yeah. Although they were excited. One of them was excited. He told Aaron today that you were coming over for podcast tonight.
Yes.
So he was quite enthusiastic about that. So
still wearing a scarf.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what she said. He's coming to the classroom wearing the scarf a lot of days.
He loved it. We're going to the Dallas game because it's their birthday and we've got six tickets together.
No. Nice. You know, the twins equally into it, or is one of them?
No. Stevie was way into it.
Okay.
Way into it. The drums, the clapping, the dancing, the music, the goals.
Wes didn't give a shit.
Once his Reese's Pieces ran out, he wanted to call it.
I mean, that's the way it should be, right? Yeah. Like, we should have one that's into it and one that's not.
He was invested while he was filling his face.
Yeah.
Well, then again, aren't we all?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
But I mean, taking my kids to the Cardinals games or whatever growing up, like, it was the same thing. As soon as the nachos were gone, can we go yet?
Yeah.
So.
Which baseball is boring.
But he's excited to go back. I told him we're going to go back. And he's like, oh, cool.
Coco.
Yeah, more Reese's Pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I took away from that. Can I get Reese's Pieces at the game Saturday, Brad?
I'm going to keep a bag in my pocket just to keep you in line.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
All right. So, you know, first of all, congratulations, boys. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. This is amazing.
Really, really, really proud of you
guys. I read
something
on Reddit the other day that we were inconsistent in delivering podcasts.
Fair.
So...
Fair.
This
criticism.
This really, I'm going to mess up their schedule, their thought process.
No, this just adds to the inconsistency.
Right, exactly. Like, this is, you thought it was just like when we could. We did two in a row.
That's right.
Suck it.
But most importantly, after that game, I think a lot of the things we talked about last week to look for in the LA game came to be. Our friend, what's his name? The guy that does both kinds of electricity?
Mark Gardner of Euroelectric?
Yeah, that's the one.
314-814-3897?
That would be his phone number.
314-814-3897.
And that's if
both
you need,
kinds!
If you need either kind or both kinds of electricity. Some of the ref things he talked about.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, not having control of the game, either blowing the whistle too early or blowing the whistle too late on offside situations. Couple of times they allowed the quick free kick. Couple of times they didn't. Couple of times the players looked like they were trying to influence the ref, who, quite frankly, had kind of lost control of that game. I mean, there weren't fights, but there were a lot of yellow cards. And
he got real card happy at one point. I think he thought that was the way he was going to get control back of the game.
I mean, a good sign, though, is you saw both coaches at different times losing their shit on the sideline. So it wasn't like one-sided.
Right.
Like they were fucking up
if they're both,
unhappy,
you're doing something
I
right.
will say the LA coach probably spent more time yelling than Bradley Carnell, but...
I don't think Vanny could understand how he let that game get away from him.
Well,
after the first 20 minutes,
which
maybe.
Goes into the other thing we talked about, how this team never gives up. Like, this team will fight back. This team does not cower. LA come out. And LA's a fun team to watch.
Yes.
Compared to last year, like I haven't seen them play this year. I saw them play last year. A lot better team this year, I think. A lot more cohesive, very quick, and can do something with the quickness.
But
maybe getting rid of Chicharito added to the mix. You know, sometimes you get rid of a person and
addition through subtraction.
Yeah, it's more of a team unit up top. They had very dangerous pieces on all sides coming up.
I thought they sliced and diced us after 3 minutes and we go goal down.
Yeah.
And I actually thought we weren't rattled.
No,
I thought for the next 5, 10, minutes, we actually responded quite well. We didn't score, but then they go the other end and rattle the crossbar in the post. And
you Jesus, think, did they ever?
I mean, there was luck involved in that game. There was.
Berkey
played out of his mind. True, but yeah, they hit the post a few times. What's his name? Their new striker. He could have easily had a hat trick going into the half.
But I don't think we were overawed by that. I think we just held our own, played our game. And if LA had beaten us, they would have come off the field knowing they'd been in a game.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I think
at this point we are going to be a very hard team to beat.
When LA came out and scored so quickly, I wasn't dismayed. I was like, oh, you know, if we lose on the road, it's not the worst thing. This is a good team. But, you know, like we said, they didn't give up. They kept coming back. And then maybe a little bit of a letdown at the end because we took the lead late and then let the equalizer in. But I think overall, a draw was a fair result for that game. LA played well.
It was.
Berkey played well.
But, you know, like I was saying, if we'd have lost, they'd have come off knowing that they'd played a hard game. If we'd have actually won, it wasn't a smash and grab win. I do think we played our game. We played it well.
I think if we'd have won, I still would have come away feeling fortunate. I mean, Berkey had a couple crazy saves.
He was immense. He was. He is him.
And I think, you know, early in the season when MLS pundits were doing their preseason picks and things, and he wasn't on anybody's list for goalkeeper of the year after winning it last year.
That's what I couldn't understand.
And being in the MVP race last year, I think Berkey's likes to play with the chip on his shoulder. Like, he came in last year wanting to prove he was still an elite keeper after, you know, having some downtime at Dortmund. And I think this year he wants to prove, no, I'm just as good as Hugo Lloris, as, you know, anybody else you bring in. And I think he's that guy, you know.
I think for the first time he's got a team built around him. Like, he is the central figure. And even at Dortmund, he wasn't. Even when he was starting at Dortmund, he wasn't the center. You know,
well, he's an elder statesman now. He's a captain.
He's a leader on and off.
Oh, and but some of the saves,
especially with Tim Parker out, you know,
it was funny because I thought, oh, we've got depth, we won't be too bad, and we missed him.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's no slouch against the guys that were playing there, but I think it was just,
all love to Josh Yarrow, but you get the good with the bad with Josh. Like, Josh will go in and he will break up some plays. He will use his athletic ability to get back into spots, but he'll be out of spots sometimes too.
Over commitment.
Yeah. I mean,
but you always know you're going to get 100% from him.
And without a doubt.
And chances are he's going to get back 9 times out of 10.
No, against Pansel, you're not.
No, you're not. That dude had a day.
Good Lord, that kid can run.
Yeah. Wow. And, well, and not only that, but
he had partners with him that were making runs too.
And
he was fast.
And he has such a great first touch to spring himself.
You know,
I'll
contrast that with AZ.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I love AZ.
AZ takes 1,000 touches to go 3 feet forward.
But I was also talking to just a guy I know who's also a fan. And
it was Fred, wasn't it?
No, it was not Fred. He was kind of down on AZ, and I said, you know what the deal with AZ is? You know how when you're a little kid and you would run downhill, and at a certain point, gravity would sort of, like,
your body's going too fast.
Your legs couldn't keep up with it. I feel that's the way AZ is sometimes. Like, his mind is quick. He's quick, and sometimes he just gets kind of rolling, and then he gets crowded up because he got there too fast.
It's almost like Tecmo Bowe. Yeah. Where you're like, you just run in circles until you can break away from everybody. That's what I keep seeing.
And sometimes you run into the defender and you don't have anywhere to go to.
Because
you're faster than some of your teammates.
But you've run yourself out of space.
Yeah.
And I saw that several times, especially in the first half when we were kind of after their goal. He had one where he got it just short of the circle and went all the way back to essentially our box and lost it inside the circle. And it was like, you're running too much, buddy. Like, there's got to be a play there.
And that's and again, I'm not down on AZ.
No,
but,
not at all.
But you saw the LA guy, what's his name again? Pansel.
Yeah.
Pants store?
Pants store. He used his speed well and effectively and knew when to pull up and had his guys with him when he made those runs. Like, I feel like AZ, just slow down just a little bit or make sure everybody's on the same page with you. And we saw it last year. Like, he can open up a game.
Well, and I do think that Nico was a similar where yeah. he could
sometimes he would dribble into trouble.
Yeah. No, I meant just more in terms of the go fast forward. Yeah, yeah. And so Nico bailed AZ out and AZ bailed him out a lot because they had that same drive mentality.
But I think, again, the more games he gets in repetition with the lineup around him, they'll start to gel. I want to say the same thing about Klaus. I heard some people on the stream that were down on Klaus. Klaus, right now, just reminds me of a hockey scorer
who is
gripping the stick a little too much. He's coming too far back. He's going too far out to the side.
You see him just unloading when he misses.
He wants to make it happen so bad because he knows Sam's got a couple goals and people are, you know, saying we need more Big Sam. Like, he wants to make it happen so bad. And as soon as a couple of those goals go in, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
The header that he just barely put over the bar, like, that could have been it. That could have opened him up.
And it would have been a great way to, like, that's the confident shot.
And the other thing is, Klaus is actually quite good with the ball at his feet when he is back towards the middle or when he is on the outside. And he did spring a couple plays, you know, spraying it out to Celio or spraying it out to AZ. Like, he can do that. That is part of his game, even though he's a giant man and you think of him as a target striker. He is quite good with the ball at his feet.
It's vision.
Like, but I think the key is, if he's scoring a few goals, then the defense has to wonder, is he coming at me or is he going to pop outside and swing it in?
Right.
Now they don't have to worry about that as much. So I think once a couple goals go in, he'll settle down. And you know what might be fun? Put him and Big Sam up there together. They haven't used that this year. They used it a couple times.
Are they two alike?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
That's what it was last year, I thought. I thought that's what Carnell said.
But they used them together a couple of times last year.
It was usually towards the end of a game.
But I think we can find a spot for that where, again, if they're worried about Big Sam, that leaves Klaus open a little bit and vice versa.
I think if it's a game that we're pressing heavy.
I don't think necessarily to start a game and to, like, that's our attack plan. But
if it's a game where we've been in there 45 for a good chunk of it and we just can't put it in, absolutely.
And you saw when they brought Sam in with fresh legs, he changed that game immediately.
He's so powerful.
I mean, hat props to Nielsen for the bike kick.
Oh, my God.
When your defender throws in a bicycle kick in the box, that's pretty amazing. But Sam made that play happen with heading it back into the, you know, and I mean, Nielsen just kind of looked like, oh, fuck, I guess I got to go bicycle on this because there's no other way I can kick the ball.
And
he seemed just as surprised as we were.
But it was a hell of a.
Oh, it was great. Really, yeah.
That was a pretty, pretty
and
bike.
I laughed my head off.
And he won goal of the week for that.
Yes, I mean, it was pretty.
I mean, a bicycle kick's always going to get extra votes.
Pretty
just,
much.
Just because it's a thing.
If it's not a, like, drive that.
The Atlanta guy, his pounce from way outside, probably a better goal in the sense of he had more to do and knew what he was doing, like, versus Nielsen was like, I'm gonna do this, and it goes in, it goes in.
Or the Miami FC, their strike in the Open Cup, one that was like 40 yards out. Oh my God.
Speaking of which, Suarez won player of the week again. This is gonna get old. I mean, at least until they bring in Modric.
Yeah, I was going to say, until the next guy comes over to retire.
But Miami's going to cause some problems this year for everybody.
And, you know, the thing is, though, is that it's going to get to a point where they can't play together. You know? No, I'm talking about in multiple ways. First, you can't have everybody on the field at the same time.
That's true.
That's the first problem.
But they are literally making MLS also runs better.
Yes. Oh, no question.
And I was going to say, yeah, they're getting older. They're not going to be able to hold up for the whole season. But there's a lot of days off for these guys. I mean, I think Messi's going to miss 10 games.
Yeah.
I know he's playing, but he's going to Copa America or, you know, I don't know if he's playing in the Olympics or World Cup qualifiers.
But that's the other thing, too. Like, all these people bought super expensive tickets to go see Messi play their team. And no, he's going to be gone.
But you know, I feel the same way I do when Beckham came and they were selling those Beckham packages. That's soccer. Like,
yeah,
you know, I bought tickets to see Argentina play because I wanted to see Messi. Mm-hmm. He didn't play.
Yeah.
I still saw one of the best teams in the world play.
Well, it was the same way when they started interleague play. Yeah. The Royals sold packs, the Cardinal pack. You had to buy a game to, like, against Anaheim on a Tuesday night. Or, you know, those kind of things. Like, they wouldn't let you just buy the good ticket.
But if you're only buying a ticket to go see the Messi show, fuck you. Like, these games... Say what you want about MLS. They are entertaining games. The Miami team is very entertaining, even if Messi's sitting out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have any... Like, I feel bad if you make a trip to a specific place to go see Messi, but that's part of the game. There's no guarantees.
Aaron and I were talking the other night after we did the trip to San Francisco two weeks ago or whatever it was. And since Jack's away at college, he couldn't go. And then she and I were talking about maybe he and I should do a soccer trip. And I said, well, he and I could go to Miami and see when City plays Messi. And great idea. Like, it'll be a fantastic trip. Just, you know, and you get to see the greatest player currently playing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. But then it's like, okay, well, I need to really look at Argentina's schedule before I start planning this.
He might be off that game.
Yeah. So it's like, you don't know. But then again...
You're still in Miami. You're still...
Again, I'm going to Miami. I'm going to go see our team play.
You're
going to
go watch your team play.
Exactly. And that was the thing that at the end of it, I just said, you know what? I think I'm going to make sure, really try to do it because worst case scenario, I'm in Miami watching my team play.
But also, like, you hear about it. People like, I'm gonna save up Mitch and I'm going to go to London and I'm going to see Arsenal play. And you get there and, oh, what? Thierry Henry's not playing today. Like, it's devastating, but you're still making a trip to see a game.
I think there's a difference between an Arsenal fan and a Thierry Henry fan. You're still an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. But that's soccer. The same could happen, like you said, baseball or football. Like, you know, I wanted to go see Barry Sanders play. Oh, they're setting him out this game to rest him for the playoffs. Like, son of a bitch. Well, I wanted to see him.
That was never
going to happen. Okay. That's not I the forgot. Best example. We were talking about the Lions. But
that was a terrible example.
But whoever your star is. I mean, Travis Kelce. People love him. The Swifties were going nuts for him this year. He sat out the last game of the regular season. You know, there were people there just to see the Travis show and hope Taylor Swift came. Well, he told her, don't bother, hun. I'm going to sit out.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody paid $500 to go see that game.
You know, I'm going to watch Amiens in League Two, and
Messi probably won't play that game.
No, but Andy Carroll is.
There you go.
Yes. And if Andy Carroll doesn't play, I'll want my money back.
Just because you want to yell at
him. I'm going to go see the GOAT.
I was going to say, I don't.
I'll have to check England's schedule to see if Southgate picks him.
We made reference to it.
Andy Carroll.
Fucking hell.
Matt Bird is going to England next week, and he is going to go see Andy Carroll, who we were surprised is still playing.
He plays for a League Two team
in Northern France.
But you know what? Good for him.
Yeah, and there is a part of me that's like, you know what? Keep living the dream.
But and he obviously loves football.
And he made
he doesn't
enough
need
money.
The money. That's right. What I say. He could say
when Newcastle sold him to West Ham. No, I forget who he sold him to.
Liverpool. Well, Newcastle paid a ton for him.
Right. And he was on good wages with us, and then it was Liverpool. That's who
Liverpool,
it was.
Liverpool, yeah.
When he got sold to Liverpool, he was making massive. Yeah. Like, he was in the top.
So he's made enough money, could retire.
I'm sure he blew it on booze, birds, and
but he loves
right up his nose. Yeah.
But he loves the game, or he wouldn't still be playing, I would think. I don't know.
Or he's got bills to pay.
Yeah.
He's got bookies.
You know, I bet he's on £1,000 a week, and that's cool.
Yeah, I mean... Again.
And he's still a professional footballer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than working in the coal mines.
Better than working at a desk?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Speaking of which, did you guys see that Sasa Kljestan played for the
Des Moines Menace?
Yes, that was awesome.
I haven't read the story. Why? Like, first of all, proof right there that we can fuck with the roster rules when it comes to the Open Cup. Like, if Des Moines Menace can sign Sasa Kljestan to a one-day contract for... an Open Cup game, MLS could have expanded their rosters for the Open Cup. But I don't know. What's his connection to Des Moines Menace? Does anybody know?
I'm looking it up right now.
Fucking loves Iowa, man.
Well, St. Louis is the middle of nowhere. But I just thought that was hilarious. Like, you know, Sasha Kljestan playing for... I was like, what? Is it his son? No. Yeah.
And they won.
They did. And he had, like, a penalty goal, and he had a couple corners, and good for him.
So, okay, so here's the thing. So, long story short, the general manager of the Menace, Charlie Bales,
okay,
was at a couple events, and he knew, you know, he knows a ton of people through soccer, obviously, in his job. And he got introduced to Sasha as this guy's Iowa soccer fans. And, you know, they're in, like, some sort of, like, spin class or something like that, and they're having a good time. And they were just blown out and stuff like that. And afterwards, he was like, hey, you know, you're still in good shape. And he's like, oh, I played in Iowa when Orange County Blues played Waukee in the PDL National Semifinal in 2005 to take on the Menace.
Nice.
I was like, wow. So he did, you know, so he actually did. And he goes, and the GM said, I think you got 90 minutes left in you. And he's like, you know, I've been playing some high-level pickup soccer, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I said, hey, you come play in Iowa in March. And Sasha said, that sounds terrible. Insert something about the weather.
Yeah.
He wasn't wrong, as it could be snowing or it could be 70. That's where it was until we had a game in the Los Angeles area in the first round. And he's like, you know what? I'm in.
So, I mean, again, stories like this are fun for the Open Cup. I mean, I'm sure if it was like, say, the Lions, and we were there, and you fucking signed Sasha Kljestan for the Open Cup, I'd be a little pissed, even if he is past prime.
Yeah.
It's funny.
My favorite part about that story is still by far and away that sounds terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it is terrible.
Well, I mean, remember when Klinsmann was playing under an assumed name in, like, California rec leagues? Like, Jurgen Klinsmann is showing up. Like, no, I'm Bob Smith from Toledo. Nice to meet you. But these guys love the game, you know?
There's something about just crossing a white line.
Yeah.
Just cross that white line and it's game on.
So, I don't know. I don't really have any takeaways from the LA game as far as, like, you know, I'm not upset we didn't win.
My takeaway was that it was a fun night.
Yeah.
It was a fun game to watch.
Well, and Mitch, you and I were chatting during the match a little bit. You know, we were talking about how, as a neutral, this is a fun game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, six goals, back and forth, like, you know.
Jay Goppingen, that was Jurgen's fake name.
There you go. So.
That was the thing. It's like, this is an entertaining game.
Well, and I mean, hey, good week for Apple TV
to, like, offer free games.
It was their free games. I mean, the Chicago game, uh-huh, that wind that took the ball in from, half field.
You're lucky bastards.
It was completely lucky, but when you're watching it, you're like, it's got a chance.
I'm trying to remember.
I mean, and the keeper's got to feel like shit, but also got to feel like, well, that's just God. Yeah. Like,
you just stand there and you're like, okay.
I mean, it wasn't like a sneaky chip or something. That was literally nature putting that ball in.
It wasn't even like the goalie was cheating up or any of that. The normal goalie chips you see. It was just, hey, I'm putting this in.
So that happens. But I don't know. Good week of games. DC coming up. I don't know a lot about DC this year. They're mid-table.
They're called DC United. That's what I know.
And they are not United.
No.
So early in the season.
Their stadium used to fall apart on people.
That's true.
That's about all.
They do have Christian Benteke, who started this season with a hat trick in the first game. And I thought, oh, shit, this guy could go on a run. He hasn't scored since. Now, again, that he could score a hat trick again on, you know, he's a very good player.
He's a very good player, but I'll take our chances against anyone right now. I think we're playing okay. I really do think we're playing okay, playing hard.
We're undefeated.
We're undefeated, but I think the first three games of the season, we were not good. And I think we've improved a lot since that New York game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we played well in L.A. We gave some away, but, like, they were good. They were fast. They earned the goals they got.
We went toe-to-toe with a very good team on the road, and you can't argue
with that. You know, we were talking about how last year was crazy. You know, 5 wins in a row to start the season. Like, it was insane. Like, nobody's going to do that again. But here we are, 4 games into the season, still undefeated. Yes, they're not 4 straight wins, but again, holding our own, and we haven't played ourselves out of contention yet.
No,
you know,
at all. And we are going
to even when we played poorly, we did enough to get either the draw or the win.
And when we do lose, I'm confident that they'll have to work very, very hard to beat us. I think that's probably for me what I've been most impressed with is just the general, especially in the last 3 games, the tenacity, the discipline, they kept the shape, they kept the rhythm, they played their own game. They played their own game. They didn't let any other team dictate the tempo, dictate the flow of the game. And even when it looked like LA after 20 minutes had all the momentum, you know, they had the lead, they were hitting the crossbar, they were hitting the post, we weren't rattled. Yeah. We just played our game. And I think we had trust in I'm not going to say trust in the system, but we had trust in our own abilities. We had trust in our own teammates to get the job done and get something out of the game, and we did.
Well, and we talked about how this team doesn't, you know, get rattled, doesn't fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
That's also true in the sense of going back to last year, we never went on a big slide. Like, even if we lose a game, they come back. You know what I mean? And
it's because they're afraid that Berkey's going to scream at them.
That's true. But also, and the commentators did a good job of talking this up during the game. It looks like Carnell's fleshing his system out a little bit. There is a possession game there. It's not where they want it to be. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not fully a plan B yet. But it's not all run and press and run and press. Like last year, we joked about it. Like, if you want to beat St. Louis FC, give them the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, now they seem to be a little more thoughtful. They were holding the ball for stretches during that game, swinging it around and actually, you know, creating something rather than just hitting on the counters.
Uh-huh.
So I think Carnell's working that into the overall game plan.
You say we didn't go on a slide.
Yeah.
And that's true. But I felt last year it was famine or feast. We were either lights out brilliant or you knew after 5 minutes we were never going to win the game. And you just didn't know sometimes we didn't know what team showed up. But
slide, I mean, we didn't lose five.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But I think sometimes last year you start watching a game and within 5 minutes you'd know whether we were going to win it or lose it. And this year that's not been the case.
Seems to be a little more fight, a little more...
last year we'd have lost that game 2-0 to LA.
Maybe.
Whereas this year... You always thought, well, we can get back into this.
Yeah.
And maybe that's
Carnell saying, hey, if the press isn't working, we can play in a shell here. We can, you know, I don't know.
You know, they're still professional footballers. They're still good on the ball. You know, have a little faith in that aspect of their game that, you know what, you can play your way out of trouble.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, this week, the only couple things that we needed to hit are Leagues Cup tickets went on sale.
Did they?
They did. A lot of us have opted out, either for expense or because of the Open Cup situation. They're never going to release the numbers, but I would like to know how many people turned them down. But here's the thing, though. I want to reiterate this because people online are people online, but this is not a situation where we're not supporting the boys or not supporting Carnell. I want them to do well in the League's Cup. Like, I want them to do well in any competition. But this is the only way we can really send a message to the league to say, if your excuse, which you're telling me the reason this happened is because it's too congested, the schedule, then my response is, then you should have picked the Open Cup because that's more important. Now, if you can find a way to make it happen by either expanding the rosters or whatever, I would be happy to support during the League's Cup. Like, I would not have been boycotting the League's Cup had it not been for what they did to the Open Cup. And by the same token, the people that show up to those League's Cup games, I want them to have a good time. I want them to go nuts. I want the boys to win. I want all these people who can't get tickets to a game, because
this is their good chance.
This is a great chance for them to snap up those tickets.
Although they're a little bit more expensive than a regular ticket.
Well, apparently MLS sets the prices
for
League Cup.
That's.
But this is not us wishing ill for St. Louis City. This is just saying
pure support of the Open Cup.
Right. So you can have arguments with that. You can say we're not doing the right thing. Fine, whatever.
And again, people are open to make their own decisions on this.
And I posted on the Luligan Public Facebook page. Somebody posted when they went on sale, and then immediately it turned into a
battle.
You're horrible fans, or you don't know anything about soccer if you're not supporting the Open Cup. Like, either way, I don't want to hear fans attacking each other mm-hmm. because of what they think. Like, you can have a rational discussion about the Open Cup or how the boycott is affecting it. But the name calling, like, look, if Bird told me, you're a good friend of mine, if you said, Brad, I'm going to the League's Cup and I'm taking the boys and I'm going to have fun, I wouldn't be mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your choice. That's your decision. So if somebody says, I'm a diehard Luligan, but I'm not missing this game, fine.
Yeah.
And by the same token, if somebody says, I'm not going to this for whatever reason, good. That's your call too. Same with the Open Cup. Last year when the Open Cup was here, not everybody opted in to get their Open Cup tickets.
There was a lot of people that didn't.
It's a Wednesday night game. I get it. It's, you know, or Tuesday, whatever it was. It's a weird midweek game.
I had friends that went because that was the only time they could get a ticket.
And we're playing Omaha. I get it. You don't necessarily see the beauty in that. I thought it was great. I thought it's fun.
That was the funniest game of the season.
And
honestly,
the Omaha fans coming and they
had fun
and getting, you know, always Matt used to always talk about it. It's their big day out. They get to play in the big stadium. The team got a big payday because they get a cut of those mm-hmm. ticket sales.
And they came to our tailgate and had a good time.
And it may have funded Omaha for the whole season, that one game in the big stadium.
That's the part that I think a lot of people don't understand about these kind of the Open Cup is the trickle-down. Yeah. I hate to say trickle-down economics of it because it actually is. But it is because it is when those guys come, yeah, they may get their asses kicked. They may get blown out. But from a financial standpoint, it's massive.
Which, in turn, is good for the game because...
Yes, that is the
maybe
point.
Maybe a team would fold if not for a couple of big paydays here and there.
I'd also be more apt to support the League's Cup if it was a real tournament. Like, why are we not going to Mexico?
It is...
Why are we not playing in Mexico?
Yeah, that would be a real term. Like
real tournament.
Like the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah.
You play a home and an away, or you draw off or whatever. This, you're right. There are no games being played in Mexico. Which, if you really want to make an argument for the competition aspect mm-hmm. of it, like you're not gonna test yourself playing Pachuca in Columbus.
Yeah,
you got to go there. You got to go to Azteca. Uh-huh. You got to go to Guadalajara. You got to go to, you know, all these places. If you want it to be a real competition, it's a payday for the Mexican League because MLS is giving them a good chunk of money for that. It's a way to reward Apple and give them some more games. And it's a way for MLS to charge extra money for tickets. St. Louis City isn't setting the prices. MLS is setting the prices. They will give City a cut of it, but MLS is taking the gate money. So you're right. It's not a real tournament.
It's not. And MLS
still could be fun.
MLS is scared to go and play in Mexico because every time they do, they typically get their pants pulled down.
Well, but
there's no way to give our players experience of playing in Mexico if you don't go and play in Mexico.
But I also think the Mexican League says, fine, we can get more money if we play all the games up there. Great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year, our game against Club America at our stadium was a Club America home game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the music and everything reflected that. And you had people standing around going, why are we like blowing smoke and playing music when they score? You know, because it's not a real tournament.
But here's the thing, like, this is what you're missing out on. I had to find this story because I read this the other day and it just made me so happy. Is that former USMNT star Jermaine Jones, he's got a pro side called Central Valley Fuego.
Okay.
And they're in this tournament. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they made it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they're playing an amateur team, FC Folsom. It's a father-son running this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it is
the Open Cup.
Their dad owns it. The son plays for it. The son has played in, like, USL 1 or, you know, like, he's got, you know, he's actually had, but, like, what a story. That's an amazing story. It's like when Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. played on the same team. Like,
I mean,
there's so many of those stories.
The Open Cup started up the other night, and there were a couple of cup sets. I mean, a Mexican restaurant team beat a team. Like, I mean, I'm not saying, again, somebody complained. We posted that story about Matt House. Matt House talked about when he took Will to a game in Wichita, and, you know, Sam and Zach and Rick were there. Like, there were like five or six St. Mm-hmm. Louis fans there. But taking Will when Will was five on the airplane to an away game, and the general manager seeing you at the airport, and, like, it was the best day in the world for Will.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to see us, you know, win in Wichita, and they met some really
cool
people.
Did he lick any eyeballs?
Probably licked a few eyeballs. But, you know, he posted that, so we shared it. And somebody said, oh, you're just romanticizing the Open Cup. Yeah.
That's the point.
That's the point.
Yeah.
It is romantic. It is...
It's stories.
Cinderella.
That's the thing.
I told somebody this, too. Like, I want somebody to have that feeling that mm-hmm. we had against Cincinnati when Sam Fink scored, or when we went to Atlanta and held with them for a long time, or whatever. We beat Chicago at Lindenwood. I want somebody to have that experience against City. Like, I want an Omaha to come in and win a game.
I want one of our players to grab the referee's notebook and rip it up and get banned from the Open Cup for a year like Clint Desi.
I want City to be playing an Omaha or something and go, you know, that left back, he might be able to help us.
Oh, we played Des Moines Menace 1 year, exactly. And then the next year, Vince Cicirelli's playing for us.
Exactly.
You know? And
I mean, the Open Cup is good for the game. It's good for players that get a chance to show their stuff who, you know, maybe this kid that plays at the Mexican restaurant isn't on anybody's
radar.
You know,
and now he is. He might.
One of my big gripes all through being invested in American soccer is that for years I would hear the likes of Alexi Lalas and Taylor Twellman and the talking heads say, you know, if you're an American soccer fan, you need to be a supporter of your national domestic league. But our national domestic league takes no responsibility for the rest of the pyramid, for the U.S. national team.
Half the time they don't
even
acknowledge they exist.
You know, they take no... It's a one-way track, you know. There's nothing coming back from MLS, as you say, trickle down to help lift up
the ladder behind them.
They did.
It's like boomers.
And it's, you know, 25 years ago when this league started, it was fun, it was hip, it was new. And now we've got 78-year-old crusty white men running the fucking thing.
It's kind of like the government.
Yeah.
We need more AOCs and, you know, young guys.
We need, honestly.
So I do want to make this comment as we're talking about the romanticism of the cup and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure 99.8% of our listeners have watched Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And those that did, Coach Beard, he always had different books. And one of the ones that he read in the, it was either first or second season that he always had in his hands, was The Miracle of Castle de Sangre.
Oh, such a good book.
Great book.
It is. I finally got a copy of it. I'm finally getting a chance to sit and read it.
Oh, dude, it's the best.
It may be the best soccer book I've ever read.
It is. I literally just started it the other night, and I think I read it for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I could not put it down.
I'll post a link from our Twitter tomorrow, so if you want to look this book up. Like, it is a great book about Italian soccer in the lower leagues.
It's on my Kindle, so there was a lot of times that I would go back a couple pages and reread something to kind of...
First of all, the guy's an amazing writer.
Yes, it's a fantastically
written
book.
But the story itself is...
Joe McGinnis. He was.
Oh, was that Joe McGinnis?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, okay.
He got an advance to write a biography and a synopsis. He was given a massive advance by his publisher to write a synopsis and a biography of O.J. Simpson during the trial. And he turned it down to follow Castel de Sangro.
Good decision. Because it is my favorite soccer book.
And it's amazing, too, because it when the very first story is him riding a train in Italy and making a friend because they hear, oh, you're an American. Oh, I'm here to watch a football team, blah, blah, blah.
And it's not about Serie A. It's not about AC Milan and Inter Milan.
No,
like,
it's a lower, second or third division. I forget. I think it's second division. No, it is because they got promoted.
They bounced back and forth.
And that's the thing, that it's just kind of like, there are so many of these stories that, you know, for those that were around for FC, for those that are watching the Open Cup, like, this is that romanticism. And when you take that and then read these stories, and then you see on Ted Lasso what they did with getting promoted, and, you know,
and you're watching Welcome to Wrexham, or you're watching Sunderland Till I Die, like, these stories. And also, I do want to say,
not the Tottenham show, though.
Yeah, no, but like, some people were saying, oh, nobody cared about the Open Cup until this year. You're all a bunch of fake fans. I'm sorry, you may not have heard of the Open Cup till this year, but a lot of us.
Sam Fink's header is in the opening montage of the U.S. Open Cup.
And how many fans at City now, their first experience was maybe that Lindenwood game against the Fire, or the Sam Fink game, or, you know what I mean? Like, they found out about the local soccer team because of an Open Cup game. So you may just have found out about the Open Cup, but a lot of people in the North End know about the Open Cup and love the Open Cup. So don't accuse us of being, you know, Johnny Come Latelys or anything. We've been around for 14 years.
I drove to a fucking tin can in Michigan.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, let's do a couple questions and then we'll get out of here. Biologist Ryan, he says, we need to talk about Markanic. Did he have a particularly bad match? But aside from that, he seems to get torched a lot. Is he really our best option? And here's what I'll say. Obviously, he is. Like, we signed Durr for big money, but he ain't starting. And he has come in and played, so he's not injured.
What do you expect from a player that Colorado Rapids were willing to let go? What do you expect from that dude?
Here's what I'll
say. If the worst team in the league is willing to let you go.
And here's what I'll say to that. Like, when we brought him in last year, he immediately started playing because he was better than what we had. Mm-hmm. Now, he's athletic, he's young, he's got upside, but he's not on big money. So this summer, we went out and signed Durr from the Danish league, and he was, I think it's Denmark, I don't know, one of the Lutz playgrounds over there in Eastern Europe. We brought him in, and he's not earned the starting job, and he's not injured because he has come in and played. So I would say, and those are really the only two real left backs we have on the roster. I know we've played Ebert out there, and we've played some people out of position in left back, but I think he's the best option we have right now.
My concern about Dyer is if he's not good enough, if he can't play in April, how's he going to cope in July?
And maybe he's still getting accustomed to the league and the system, and he may get there. But I think as of right now, they're not starting Markanic because of injuries or anything. They're starting him because he's our number one option at left back. And say what you will about that, the kid's out there trying.
No, I he's out there trying.
He hasn't been awful. He's gotten burned a couple times, but
he's not. Let's put it this way: he's not lighting any fires, though.
He's not up to snuff with the rest of our back line. Like,
I think Totland, that's the other part.
Totland has come in and made that job his on the right.
So if Totland can come in and do it, what's wrong with Dyer?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Totland has done it. He's a good starting left back or right back in this league.
Yep.
I think Tim Parker, Nielsen, Yarrow, Ebert in a pinch are starting center backs. We don't really have, we didn't have depth at left back, and now you can question do we have a legitimate MLS starter? Now, Markkanen can get the job done, but he's not going to make anybody's best 11.
But I also think, though, against Pansel.
Oh, yeah, anybody's going to.
I think Luke Shaw would have struggled.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got burned by Pansel, but
fight.
That's, yeah.
Pansel
took a couple shots at him because he was getting on his nerves. He was in his pocket. I'm sure there were a few kidney punches thrown when the refs weren't looking.
But again, when we signed Markkanen, I did raise an eyebrow at the, why is the worst team in the league?
Because we needed him. We needed a body. Yeah. And we knew he was young, and we knew, okay, there's upside there.
And that's the thing. I do think that...
Because we really played without a left back.
There's nothing wrong with taking a gamble on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that.
And when you see his potential, yeah, he looks like a project guy.
Yeah.
But the problem is, a project guy is not start.
But the thing is, yeah, exactly.
But don't you
Real Madrid money to go to games for a project.
But don't you think they signed Dyer thinking Dyer will be the starter and Markkanen will be his backup and...
Then we're good.
And work into, you know, do spot duty and gain some more experience.
Build
them
up. Yeah. And I guarantee that was the thought process because it makes every bit of sense.
So...
And it didn't
happen. And we paid a lot of money for Dyer. Yeah. I mean, relatively speaking.
Well, we also paid a lot of money for Ostrak.
Well, let's talk about that.
I always loved him. I always said... He'll come good.
Best tweet of the week. Bird's always been a fan, and he quote tweeted his tweet where he's like, "I don't like this guy." You know? I think we said it on the pod last week. Not too sold on Ostrak for how much we're paying him, Leuven's out. Ostrak came in and did the business.
Did the business.
I think the thing is, though, is that because we hadn't seen it from Ostrak before.
We'd seen flashes of it, yeah.
But we never saw a consistent performance out of the guy until Saturday.
A solid whole game Saturday.
Yes, and I think that was the first time we've really seen that out of him.
He's not Leuven. He's not going to do what Leuven did, but he did make a difference in that midfield.
Absolutely.
He's the fourth highest paid member of the team.
Well, yeah.
We should be seeing the same as Leuven, honestly. And that's what concerns me about Klaus, is that he's the DP, man. You've got to deliver.
But you go through stretches, especially strikers. I'm not giving up on Santa Claus.
No, I'm not giving up on him, but it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not performing, you're going to have Sam, who's on league minimum, outperform.
And we want that.
We want it to be a battle. That.
Yeah.
I mean, we said that for years at FC when there weren't strikers that we needed that battle. And now we have that battle. It's a good thing. Again, like Brad said earlier, he's gripping the stick, and you know, as soon as he drops that one,
you can
it's
see
over.
It's there. It's just
what was the?
He kind of starts to dance when the ball starts coming his way. Like, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got
to
do this.
It was during the game when we were going left to right. I don't remember which half it was, but he put one over the bar, and you watched him turn around, and the camera just got a great view of him just yelling "fuck."
He's yelling at himself.
Yeah.
We're used to him yelling at the
players.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, put the ball here for me. It was purely rage at himself. And that's where I was like, okay, no, he's in his own head right now.
So, and he'll get there.
Again, he puts the first one in, they start flowing.
So how many games without a goal do you think start getting worried? Because we're at, 5-6 now?
But one of the games he didn't start. He came in late on.
Yeah.
It depends on how it's going, but...
It also depends on how the team's doing, too, when he's not.
He could erupt and drop 3 Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's a discussion we're going to have. I think he's going to score before we get to the point of,
And I do think the other part about it is, too, is that he is a distraction for the other team to where everybody else gets a chance to score, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he creates opportunity just by being him.
So hat-trick on Saturday,
After we've talked about
Let's go with Illinois and put it back.
But I don't think we will go long enough to really start the question, is Klaus, you know, whatever. Like, I think it's going to work itself out.
Sure.
It'll happen on Saturday because I'm not going to the game.
There you go.
you know why he's not going to the game?
Because he's a smug
holiday bastard.
Because he's going to see Andy Carroll. League,
I'm going to see a real fucking striker,
league,
right?
League duh.
Does he still have that horrible ponytail thing?
Cornrows.
The cornrows were the worst.
All right, this question's from erstwhile podcast host Sarah Robertson. Her and Jesse want to know, Bird, have you called any of your contacts in England? What's going on with Kate? And I know the answer, so you tell me what you think. But then I'm gonna drop the truth.
I think she may. I think honestly, I think at this point she may have been accidentally beheaded.
Wow! Wow!
Like
that's. I mean, that's a good call.
I mean, there is.
He does still have the ponytail.
There is hysteric reference there. They may have gone all Anne Boleyn on her.
I'm going to tell you what really happened. This is just. I don't want to cite my sources because you know. This people are putting their neck out, getting this story out there. But I've read some things
she
on the internet.
Putting a neck out, getting beheaded.
It's not Anne Boleyn.
It's well known that the British family are reptilians.
Yes, yes, this is true.
Reptilian shapeshifting aliens.
Not the tall grays.
Not the tall
whites.
No, these are reptilians. Sometimes work with the tall whites
yes,
or the grays.
Yes, yes.
But here's what happened. So
you know how many people are just going, "What the fuck are
obviously,
they talking about?"
The kids are hybrids.
Yes.
Kate's a mortal. She married into this reptilian family. They do a good job of hiding it for the most part.
It explains the whole inbreeding thing that people talk about.
It explains the whole fucking Photoshop circling the hands.
Yeah.
Because the scales and claws have to be fucking...
Have you seen Charlie's fingers?
Exactly. Yeah.
They are Photoshop sausages.
Little fucking
on his
sausages.
Fingers.
Yep.
And sometimes one of the kids will nip at them. Because they look like little tasty sausages.
That's right.
So anyway, we're getting about to the age when the kids are starting to come into their reptilianness. So they've had to do some, like, replacement with the kids. Like, they're going to take them off to, like, you know, the hot rocks and things. And they've got some older reptilians who are now replacing the kids until the kids are...
Is that like the Skrulls?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. They're shapeshifters.
Okay.
They're shapeshifters.
Okay.
And I think Kate found out. Because one of the kids, she's tucking them in at night.
I think she knew.
I think she found out.
When she gave birth to an egg, I think she knew.
I think she's losing her shit because, first of all, oh my God, my babies are reptilians. And second of all, they're now replacing them.
Wait, more importantly, where's Pippa in all this?
Pippa's looking good. I saw some video of Pippa.
Mm-hmm.
But also, here's why Kate has disappeared, okay? So she found out. She freaked out. They axed her. She's been beheaded, as Matt said.
Do you think they ate her?
I don't know about that.
Well, she wouldn't go driving around Paris, so they have to do something with her.
Jesus. But as I said, reptilians are shapeshifters. They've got a new Kate. You know, people are complaining
Frank.
Like that.
Frank is now Kate.
The girl in the video at the little farm shop that they went to isn't really Kate. It's because the reptilian hasn't got the face right yet. Huh? So they're doing some trial runs. They're getting it out there.
They
but
have pregnancy faces.
As soon as she's mastered the Kate face, then she'll be back out there.
Elbow, wrist.
And people are saying Brazilian butt lift. Well, that's part of it. I mean, if you're going to relaunch the princess, you're going to make her look good. So
does she look good before? I mean,
stunning woman.
Yes.
But now she's going to be a little scaly. So it's all about the reptilians. It's all about replacement theory.
Is William's supposed mistress a reptilian then?
No, she's human because he likes it freaky.
Okay. Okay. Like father, like son.
So yeah. I mean, without a doubt. So I think in a couple weeks this will be cleared up once they get the new reptilian Kate to look passable, and again explains all the photoshopping.
It explains
all the photoshopping. That's the only thing that's,
you can tell by the pupils. Are they round or are they
and the eyelids, which way do they open?
Yeah.
Horizontal or vertical.
Exactly. So that's what's going on, Sarah, with the Kate situation.
I know what I saw.
And finally, Patty Houlihan, who was very excited. We mentioned him on the last podcast,
wasn't it?
But he wants to know.
I heard he hustled last week.
Oh, I'll tell you, the Fulham won at the weekend. It would have been a great Fulham corner this week, wouldn't it, for him?
He's excited to know about the upcoming Forward Madison trip. I don't have information on that, Patty, but I do know a bunch of Luligans are making the trip to Forward Madison. sometime in the next couple months.
It is a great trip.
If you really want to go to a lower league game that is somewhere, a cool city, Madison, Wisconsin's really cool.
It's a great city.
The Flock do it right. Like, you know, Peter Wilt built that team, and they really do a lot of fan service up there. They have a cow at the games, for the love of God.
What was it, Moosey? Lionel Moosey, I think, or
something.
That.
Sarah was convinced it was going to bite her.
Yeah.
But that's a good place to go see a game.
Was it Lionel Bessie?
Yeah, that's what it is. Lionel Bessie. And then what was the other one? The other one was
like a goat.
A female soccer player's name. I forget what it was. But the other great thing, they have some of the best shirts ever.
They do.
They don't miss, do they?
Their kits, their t-shirts. When we went up there a couple of years ago, last year you dropped
a couple hundred in the team store.
Oh my God. Well, and Jack, my son, he was looking for the drip kit, something hard, but he got they basically did a like heavy metal concert t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best shirts I've ever seen.
I mean, one of the best mascots, the Flamingos, because the whole like concept of when you hear people get their yard flamingoed, where, you know, they go buy a bunch of the plastic flamingos and put them in their yard, in somebody's yard, like a friend's yard, for a prank. That started in Madison, Wisconsin.
The students did it on the hill at the college.
And they do it to the president's house and things like that. So they made that the mascot of their team. I mean, that's just...
It's like the biggest inside joke team name ever.
It's fantastic. But the colors are good. They do fun stuff with it. And fun soccer and a really good fan base. Like, we've had amazing times either when we've gone up there, their members now come down for games. We played them in the Open Cup once.
Yeah. Beat 3-0.
But we've made friends with those guys. And so some of them come down for our games. And then usually once a year, a bunch of Luligans go up to Madison for a game.
Rose Cowbell.
There you go.
That's what it was.
So, Patty, yes, I don't know anything more details about the trip. But if you're interested in going on the trip to Madison with some of the Luligans, swing by the merch tent and talk to either Sarah or Patty, and I think Aaron. Some of the guys are like planning this trip now, so you can find out more information about that if you want to go. But it is a good time in Madison, Wisconsin.
God, I'm looking at their shirts this year.
They don't miss.
They just don't miss, man. Yeah.
Them and
a little bit of freedom. MLS isn't, and Adidas aren't making them do basic boring
jerseys.
I'll tell you
who I also liked this year, actually, Chattanooga's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've gone from Hummel to Adidas, but they're really sharp this year. Oakland Roots
has done good.
They've
kits.
Done
yeah.
good. You remember how we always used to think Indy 11's kits were amazing?
Yeah.
Well, Madison, Oakland have always now topped those charts.
It's like the further down in the leagues you get, the more freedom teams get to have some fun with it. Like MLS. I'm not going to say anything negative about our kits. I think they've been pretty good so far for the first couple of years. And when MLS does some of the fun kits, like for teams, they've been good. But there's usually like just basic templates for one of your jerseys, if not both. Some teams just have shitty basic templates. And I'm sure St. Louis will get a few of those as we go forward. MLS is just like, they don't let you have some fun. And... like, some of these kits are amazing out there.
What do you think of the new U.S. jerseys?
They're pretty, but you know what?
I like the home one. I thought the home one was all right.
Plain is okay because it's not bad.
I want the fucking Waldo. I want an iconic, this is what the U.S., like England, you know they're going to have a white jersey primarily, usually going to have a red away jersey. You know it's England. Like, Germany's new jersey. Banging, because it just
it looks
like a Germany jersey.
Yeah.
France's new jersey, white with the pinstripes, you know, just a big cockerel on it, looks like a France jersey. Like, I want United States to have an identity.
I want the sash.
But I think Waldo's like been one of the best kits ever. Like, there's not a lot of international teams that do hoops. Like, just pick a look and go with it instead of Nike trying to reinvent the wheel every 4 years or every 2 years, every year now.
Yeah.
And you can play with the away jersey a little bit, but I want Adidas, you know, Argentina's going to have the blue and white stripes.
Yeah.
But they change it up a little bit, you know, vary the stripes a little bit.
Like, sometimes they're thin, sometimes they're wide.
You can do different stuff with it.
Lightning bolts or whatever.
But I just don't like this every year. Like, you'll start hearing rumors. oh, the new U.S. kit's coming this week.
And it's and always you have, a white shirt with blue trim.
But you have no idea how bad it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I want it to be, I want to look at it and say, that's a USA jersey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, like, the bomb pop was at and the time.
I didn't like the bomb
no,
pop.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, the bomb pop at the time was,
at least it was
just
something.
It was, everybody was like, ugh. But now I look back at it with some of the ones they've come out since then, and I'm like, I'll take the bomb pop.
Everyone thought it was shit. Until we beat Ghana in it.
Yeah.
And then it became iconic.
Yep.
And that win made it iconic.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not the worst U.S. jersey I've ever seen. Oh, but...
I don't mind the home. But the England jersey's shit. The home jersey's shit.
I thought it was all right.
It's too much blue for me. But I like the away. It's a blue away kit. And I think that maybe because that's a little different.
Yeah.
I've mostly always had... red. Yeah. I like the blue away.
Well, that's what I said. Like, you play with your away kit. Yeah. Get funky with it, whatever. But I don't know. Like, but you see Germany and Argentina's new kits come out. It's always good. Mm-hmm. You know? And like the USA, it's just never... I don't know.
But Holland, it's always orange.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's...
I said this when we were... Before St. Louis City picked their colors. I like when I can walk by a TV... and know who's playing. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's an MLS game and they're wearing orange, chances are it's Houston.
Yeah.
You know, if it's yellow, it was Columbus. Cool. I mean, now we've got a few more teams like Nashville and Cincinnati that wear colors. But, like, if it was an old MLS game and it was hoops, it was Dallas. Like, yep. Dallas doesn't wear hoops anymore. Dallas should be wearing hoops. That should be their thing. You know, Portland was the forest green. Seattle is the rave green. Like, so I'm glad St. Louis City has a bright, bold pink, you know, like doesn't look just red like all the other teams. But I want that with national teams too. I want to walk by a World Cup game. Oh, it's orange. Holland's playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's blue and white vertical stripes. It's Argentina. And I want USA to, like, if I walk by, it's like, oh, it's a white shirt. Is that United States? Is that
Croatia.
England? Is that Croatia? Is it Korea?
Yeah.
You know,
like Croatia, the Czech Republic.
Yeah, you know it's Croatia.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
And they play with the different kinds of checkers, different size checkers, but red and white checks, it's Croatia.
And again, you just do
Croatia.
The sash. You can
Croatia.
You can do so many things with the sash. Like that can be where you get crazy.
Yeah.
You can put sublimation into the sash. Yeah. You could put people's names in the sash.
Like Galaxy does the sash on most of their white jerseys,
yeah.
But it's different material or different, you know, patterns
in
the sash.
It's like you can do so many cool things with it. And
yeah.
And yet it stays the same iconic template.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just how I feel about the U.S. jersey. But
we've said this for 15 years, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing new. You could probably go back to one of the early shows and we were having the same
Remember
bitches.
The red Centennial jersey, the Don't Tread On Me?
Yeah.
It was red with a navy blue sash. Like, yeah.
That was the best third kit
I
ever had.
Yeah.
I still have the blue one with the red sash.
Yeah.
And that's I love that one.
Yeah.
It's just great.
And the sash, obviously, I mean, we're a little biased, but it makes me think of the 1950 team.
Exactly.
You know, a white shirt with the red sash.
I like the Centennial shirt, the white one with the flag, the flag shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
I love that shirt.
I like that shield a lot, too.
Yeah.
It was good.
I got it tattooed on my leg.
You've also got three lions on your leg.
One lion.
Oh, just one.
One lion.
Okay. Two of them got eaten by a reptilian queen.
they fed cake to them.
If England win the Euros, I might get another lion. Well, we got one World Cup, so get one lion.
There you go.
Yeah, get a lion for every World Cup.
Matt's going to die with one lion on his leg.
You know what? I can't say too much because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see any World Cup trophies on my leg, do you?
It also explains why all Blues fans went out and got tattoos immediately because
yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like, oh, 50 years, I'm in. Oh, Lord.
All
you
right.
Know what?
That's all we got time for.
Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday. Come out. We're going to have some
street
fun.
Street party. We've got Heater's Hot Chicken. We've got...
Cluck Oink Moo.
Cluck,
or however you're going to say it.
Yeah, I just always like randomize
Duchess
animals.
Rose is back.
Duchess Rose
Duchess
is
hasn't
back.
Been
She's
back
amazing.
For this season, so it's good to see her.
And, I mean, let's not forget, Schlafly is going to have supporters session.
And they've got food options outside, too. Plus the full menu inside if you want to sit down and have a meal.
Yeah.
And our charity du jour this week is Colon Cancer Alliance. This is one that means a lot to us. if I had a beer, I'd pour some out in Mitch's basement.
I'd prefer you didn't.
For our buddy Casey, who...
if I had a root beer, I'd pour some out for Casey. That's true. That would actually be more
appropriate. One of the original St. Luligans was there with us from the beginning. Lost his battle to colorectal cancer, so we're always apt to give more that weekend. So please come out and give a donation. Or buy a Schlaffle ticket or a sticker.
And just have yourself a good time.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. We've been out of town for a few weeks. Let's get together and let's kick it.
You know what I'm doing Saturday?
You're flying to England.
There you go.
Smug holiday bastard.
Yeah. You know what I'm having for dinner on Saturday night?
Fish and chips.
United Airlines. Economy basic schlop.
Enjoy your pretzels, dickhead.
I'm the Lizard King. I can do anything.